Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Judges 1-2. Joshua was a book of victorious conquest. Judges is a book of defeat and failure. Israel holds the promised land, a large portion of it, but the opening chapter is a ledger of unfinished obedience. Tribe after tribe did not drive out the inhabitants of the land as God had commanded. Judah could not dislodge the people of the plains with their iron chariots. Benjamin left the Jebusites in Jerusalem. Manasseh, Ephraim, Zebulun, Asher, and Naphtali all settled down among Canaanites. They preferred to tax rather than remove. And Dan was pushed back into the hill country altogether. Judges 1:19-34. Then the angel of the Lord comes up from Gilgal, from the place of covenant memory, to Bochim, the place of weeping, and announces the consequence we saw coming in Joshua. You have disobeyed me. Now therefore I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will become traps for you, and their gods will become snares to you. Judges 2:2-3. But the hinge of the whole book, the verse that explains everything that follows, comes quietly in the middle of chapter 2. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Judges 2:10. One generation, that is all it took. Just after one generation, the people of Israel forgot the Lord and turned to idols, and with every successive generation, they grew only worse and stubbornly worse. Whenever we read Judges, we should think of the opening movement of Genesis, the swift slide from Adam to Cain to Lamech, the corruption of even the godly line of Seth through intermarriage, until every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Genesis 6:5. And then, when God began again with righteous Noah, a world rushing within generations to build a tower to its own rebellion. In every case, God intervened to stem the tide, and in every case, the next generation spawned a new cycle of degeneration. Judges is that same story with Israel's name on it, and by the end of the book, the people will no longer even know right from wrong. Verses 10 through 19 of chapter 2 summarize the entire book in advance, and the pattern is worth fixing in mind, for we will watch it turn 6 times. First, disobedience. Israel forsakes the Lord who brought them out of Egypt and worships the gods of the peoples around them. 2:12. Second, disciplinary judgment. In his anger, the Lord gives them into the hands of raiders and sells them to their enemies, whom they were no longer able to resist. 2:14. Third, distress and crying out. Groaning under oppression, they cry to the Lord. Fourth, deliverance. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. And fifth, disobedience again, but deeper. When the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. It is not a circle, but a descending spiral. And though God raised up mighty judges through these centuries, not one of them could break the cycle. Each deliverance lasted a lifetime at most. Each relapse sank lower. If the cycle was ever to be broken, it would take a deliverer of another order entirely. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. Romans 11:26. We know that deliverer, Jesus Christ, breaks the cycle not by delivering us from our enemies, but by delivering us from ourselves. Now, how did this catastrophe of forgetting come to be? Judges 2 verse 10 does not merely indict the generation that did not know the Lord. It quietly implicates the generation before them, the generation that had seen everything and failed to pass it on. From the beginning, God had built the telling of his acts into his acts. He hardened Pharaoh's heart and multiplied his signs in Egypt expressly, that you may tell your children and grandchildren, and that you may know that I am the Lord. Exodus 10, verse 2. He designed the Passover as an annual question from a child's mouth. When your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them. Exodus 12:26-27. Moses commanded, watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Deuteronomy 4:9. And he did not generalize, he described the method in detail, twice over. These words on your hearts, impressed on your children, talked about sitting at home and walking on the road, at lying down and rising up, bound on hands and foreheads, written on door frames and gates, Deuteronomy 6:6-9, 11:18-21. The Levites were to assemble the whole nation regularly, men, women, children, foreigners, precisely so that their children who do not know this law must hear it, Deuteronomy 31:12-13. And in nearly his last recorded words, Moses pressed the point once more, "They are not just idle words for you, they are your life," Deuteronomy 32:47. Yet a generation arose that did not know the Lord or what he had done. Somewhere between the memorial stones and the dinner table, the telling stopped. The application could hardly be more direct. The New Testament gives parents essentially one command concerning their children. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. One command, and it is precisely the command Joshua's generation neglected. How many of us have made the spiritual instruction of our children the actual chief priority of our parenting, rather than one activity among the sports and the schooling? This is written by parents who also fall woefully short of such focused biblical parenting. Let us then encourage, challenge, and support one another to do better, because Judges is the documentary of what happens one generation after the telling stops. There is a deeper current running under all of this, and it is worth naming at the outset of the book, because Judges will press it on us relentlessly, the utter bankruptcy of unaided human effort. The Old Testament is one long demonstration of it, and not only effort at obedience, but effort at faith. Israel was judged at Kadesh Barnea not merely for breaking rules, but for unbelief. They did not trust that God would give them the land. Israel saw the plagues, the sea, the manna, the Jordan, Jericho, and still, within a generation of Joshua's death, bowed to Baal. If ever a people had the advantages that should produce faith, it was this people. And their history proves beyond argument that human depravity runs deeper than evidence can cure. This is why the New Covenant's promises are worded the way they are. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. They will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Jeremiah 31:33-34. Notice, not they will be taught, but they will know, because God himself will have written it within. The new birth precedes and produces faith. John 3:3. We believe because God has enabled us to know and believe him. We have chosen him because he first chose us and drew us. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We were dead in transgressions and sins, by nature deserving of wrath. Ephesians 2:1-3. Unable even to accept the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Until grace came and faith was given. Judges will show us in the darkest colors what humanity does when left to itself. Let the reader see it clearly, and then praise God for his marvelous grace, by which he grants us to know him, to believe him, and to receive the unmerited righteousness of Christ. Thank you for spending this time in Judges 1:2. Until next time, keep treasuring the word.